session number 23339, reel 4.
Jeffrey Denny, reel 4. The Ark Royal was involved in the events which led up to the sinking of the Bismarck.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about that?
We would have been in Gibraltar at the time, but instead of going out into the Mediterranean, we came out into the Atlantic, and we knew that, well, at least the Admiralty knew and told us that she was out. She came out from the Baltic and round Iceland and out into the Atlantic, and she would have done a bit of no good to any of our British convoys coming over from America and other parts of the world, and so we had to go out and try and find her sort of business, and we went out and sailed around for more than a week, I suppose, and without seeing anything, and then a Catalina flying boat from Ireland, Northern Ireland, had been out on reconnaissance in the North Atlantic, and it spotted the Bismarck and radioed a report back to England or what have you, saying what they'd seen and where. But the trouble was that they'd been flying for, I don't know, 6 or 7 hours, I think. They had an enormously long range, and position which they reported was about 25 miles out from the true position. So we went over in that direction couldn't see anything, obviously. But we sent out more and more reconnaissance people, and they did in fact find the Bismarck, because the two of their cruisers, the Suffolk and the Norfolk, had followed her out through from the general area of Iceland and whatnot, and reported where the ship was. We carried on with our reconnaissance, and then she was spotted, and that caused all our saltfish people to be loaded up with torpedoes and to find her, and in fact they did find her. But the trouble was that the Sheffield, which was the cruiser which had been escorting us at the time, because she'd got radar and we hadn't, she was diverted to away from us, the report that she'd left us didn't get back to us until it was too late to warn the Swordfish, which were flying out to attack the Bismarck, that where she was. And our Swordfish people had been told that, you know, there were no other ships in the area. And they went out in shocking conditions, I mean, heavy seas and fog and a bit of sleet and everything like that. And they spotted a ship which they said, oh, well, this must be the Bismarck. And they all flew down in formation with their torpedoes to attack the target. And it wasn't until somebody spotted it, and the fact that the Sheffield saw these swordfish coming to attack them under friendly fire, so to speak, that the captain was able to manoeuvre around very cleverly, I suppose you could describe it as, and the torpedoes didn't hit. And so air people, the swordfish came back to Ark Royal and said that they'd had a dummy run, you know, and it hadn't had any effect, and they sent off another squadron, and they had the torpedoes, and they in fact did in fact hit the Bismarck. I think they got two hits on the forward end of the ship, but there was one torpedo which hit the after end and jammed the rudders. I'm only saying this because we knew what happened afterwards. We didn't know what was going on, so it jammed the rudders, and the Bismarck couldn't steer. She wanted to get it back into Brest, into France, to operate from there. And so the second lot of the swordfish went off, and there's two sorts of torpedoes, one which explode on contact, and the others which exploded when they hit the sea, and that was a dead loss, so they had to alter that and send out some more torpedoes with the right sort of striking mechanism on board, and they were the ones that hit the Bismarck, and we couldn't do anything. I mean, apart from their aircraft, we got no guns to tackle the Bismarck, but some of our tribal class destroyers, they shadowed the Bismarck during the night and had one torpedo attack, and I don't think it was very successful. But in the meantime, Rodney and the King George V, they'd come out from England, and they knew where they were aiming for, and they caught up with the Bismarck the next day, and they, well, I won't say blew it out of the water, but I mean they gave it such a pounding that it in fact sunk.
At the time that the Ark Royal was involved in tracking the Bismarck and attacking the Bismarck, what was it like on board? Were people aware of what was going on? Were they excited?
Well, we knew what they were trying to do, but I mean, working with a carrier, I mean, we were probably 50 miles away from where the real excitement was. I mean, we just carried on our normal routine, but we knew that instead of just going out on reconnaissance, that they were going out to do a bit of no good to somebody.
Did you get the opportunity to see any of the aircrew who'd attacked the Sheffield after they came back?
I didn't, but I mean, they were a bit fed up with it. I mean, disappointed. I mean, they did a good job, but I mean, the flying conditions were atrocious then. I mean, air flight deck was heaving up and down 50 or 60 feet at the time. I mean, you try to land on a nice grassy airfield, I mean, it's all right, but when you've got the stern rising up and down 50 feet, I mean, you've got to be a bit careful how you come into that. But they all came back, you know, fairly, I'd say comfortably, but I mean, they did manage to get on eventually.
Were you kept aware of the progress of the action against the Bismarck after Art Royal had damaged her?
Well, all we knew was that the Bismarck had sunk. I mean, and we were told to go back to Gibraltar, which we did. And Gibraltar all turned out and gave us what the Navy called a check-up, you know, with your raised on business as we went into the harbour there. And we were given the honour of going in first, and all the ships that were in Gibraltar at that time, they all were, you know, pleased to see us and everything. And
were there any celebrations or anything of that nature?
Not really. I mean, I think we'd gone out and done the job, and there was nothing we got to celebrate. We knew that there was a lot of Germans had died, you know. I mean, there's nothing we could do about it, and that was part of their job, I mean, as far as that was concerned.
After that, what did you do, or what did the Ark Royal do?
He carried on Malta convoys and ferrying hurricanes to Malta. And I suppose that was, I was just trying to think what time of the year it was. I think it was about May 41. We had another 6 months in the Mediterranean, and then the submarine got us.
Tell me about that.
Well, we'd been on a escort, a flying hurricanes to Malta, and we were within 30 miles of Gibraltar getting back home again after we'd done that, and it was about tea time, I suppose, during the dog watches, that German submarine fired a couple of torpedoes at us, and apparently the destroyer escort didn't pick it up at all. But I was up on the bridge at the time. I mean, because I was keeping the flying log, I'd stopped being an aircraft handler. I was keeping the flying log, and we were so high above the water that all we heard was the bang, you know, and the ship sort of shuddered a bit. And I remember the captain turning round and saying, "Torpedo," you know, and that was it. And they tried to keep the way on the ship, but the torpedo had hit the a vital electrical part of the ship down below, and they got no power for the pumps to stop the flooding or anything like that. And so we just they decided that the ship wouldn't get anywhere, and they kept a skeleton crew on board, and the rest of the people were told to go and muster on the after hangar deck. And there was a destroyer came alongside and picked us up, and took us back into Gib. There was about a thousand shipwrecked and homeless sailors, you know, and
Was that the last time you served on the Ark Royal?
Well, she was sunk.
Oh, she sunk.
She sunk overnight. They managed to, keep the pumps going, but they got no power for the engines or anything like that. And gradually the water, the sea coming in to the ship was caused it to list over, and 6 o'clock the next morning she just turned over and sank. Yeah.
Before we move on from the Ark Royal, can you tell me a little bit about your job as a, was it a flight logger?
My job?
As a flight logger.
I had to keep a record of all the planes which flew off and who was in them, sort of business, and tick them off as they, well, mark them off as they came back. And there was a competition between the various squadrons as to who could get the planes back on quickest, because they all had to come in at intervals one after the other, and probably of about half a minute at a time. And I was up on the flight deck with on the bridge with the stopwatch, and keeping a note of which plane it was and how long it took to take the next one coming on. And that was quite interesting, because I was up on the bridge and I knew what was going on, you know.
And how long did you have that job for?
I suppose it's about 6 months, I suppose, yeah.
Was it a promotion for you, or...?
Well, it wasn't a promotion, I was still an able seaman, I mean, but it's just that instead of having a job to do on the flight deck, I was given a clipboard and a pen, you know, and took the stopwatch, and every when the flying was over for the day, I typed up a little sort of a timetable as to which planes had flown on and landed back on, and how long they'd taken, you know. And I think the commander flying and the squadron people, they all were interested in it, because there was this rivalry to do it, because when planes are landing back on, the ship had to steer a direct course. You couldn't zigzag as we did when we were at sea at any other time. And she just had to keep a straight course, and they didn't want to stay on a straight course for more than a couple of minutes.
Being on the bridge, you must have had contact with the captain.
Not really. I knew he was there, but I mean, I could see what he was doing, and the officer of the watch and the commander flying and the yeoman of signals. I mean, they were the navigating officer, they were the people, but I was just around the side looking over the flight deck. And
did you have that job the time the Bismarck was sunk?
Yeah.
Do you remember much of what was going on the bridge during that time? Or when the Ark Royal had swordfish attacking the
Well, I mean, we didn't know what the swordfish was doing. I mean, I think they were too busy aiming their torpedoes at the Bismarck to give a running commentary on it. I think the squadron had been trained to do whatever they were doing, you know, and to take it in turns for attacking the Bismarck, and whether they were both to come in from the same direction, or according to what was the most effective way of getting a strike with the torpedoes.
After the Ark Royal, what happened to you then?
When we got back into Gibraltar, they had a 1,000 homeless sailors, and they got the Nelson and two or three other big ships in there at the time, due to go back to England, and so they got people to well, I won't say drafted them, but allocated them back to the capital ships to take passage back to England, which would have taken them the best part of a week, I suppose, depending on where they were going to. But instead of going on one of the ships, which was due back immediately, quite by chance, I went to the Maidstone, which was a submarine depot ship, which was stationed in Gibraltar there, and I went to her, and it was best part of a month before I came back to England. Not that that worried me, because I mean, Gibraltar is quite a sensible place to be, sort of thing. And eventually came home on the Manxman, which was a fastest ship in the Navy. She was a modern mine layer, and instead of, you know, just cruising along at about 20 knots, 17 to 20 knots, I mean, she could do 40 knots, I mean, and we came back, you know, hell for leather, back to England. Something went wrong with the engine, and they broke down in the middle of the Bay of Biscay for half an hour or something like that, and that was a bit scary. We didn't quite know what was going on, but eventually they got going again, and we went into Milford Haven, which was the depot which the mine layers were working for. And we just came into Milford Haven and back in the train into Portsmouth, and we were allocated to whatever the Navy felt they wanted to do with us, sort of business.
And what happened to you?
After I'd had a month's leave, I reported back into the divisional office in Portsmouth, and obviously told them who I was and what I wanted to do and that sort of business, and they said, right, why don't you qualify as a leading seaman, you see, which was a corporal, I suppose, and so that meant instead of going back to sea straight away, I had to do this leading seaman's course to know what was going on and various things like that. And
where was that?
That was in Portsmouth, and I was quite happy there, because I mean, I was an only hour's ride in the train up to Horsham, you know, and I did do that. And
how long was the course?
I don't know, about 2 or 3 weeks, I suppose. You had to, you know, do a bit of everything, you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what did it involve?
Pardon?
What did would the course involve?
Well, boat work and ship's routine, and taking charge of the squads of people, bit of parade ground work. Oh, I don't think there's anything really else. A bit of signals, but not very much, because you weren't supposed to be a signalman. They were the experts on knowing the flags and what the flags meant when they were hoisted. And so I did that, and at that time they wanted I was recommended for a RNVR commission, and I appeared before the RNVR selection board, which was an RNVR captain and two or three other officers, you know, and they asked me who I was and what I'd been doing, and they said, one of the questions was, what did I think of the Navy sort of business, being green and whatnot? I said, been on the free air on some of the things, all the war so far, and I didn't think much of the naval gunnery, you see, which was, my death warrant as far as that was concerned, because there was a commander from White Island on the board, and he said, we don't want him sort of business. And so I dipped, you see, and I never got a commission. I mean, I would have been quite happy to have had one, I suppose, and gone to King Alfred to be trained as a junior officer, but anyway, stopped being that. And then, as a matter of a stroke of luck, they wanted leading seamen and anybody who'd failed the selection board to be a new entry instructor. And so I, instead of being active leading seaman, I was a new entry instructor, and so I had to learn what to do to teach all the new recruits how to be sailors, and that was quite something, because I had when you were given a class of 20 or so new recruits, I mean, I had to for about 10 weeks is to teach them to be sailors. I mean, I was in the barracks there with them, and had to teach them, everything that they knew, a bit of rifle drill and their knots and splices and boat work and, general naval routine and everything. And then after they'd put up with me, and I put up with them for 10 weeks, they went off to a holding camp at Havant, and I waited for the next gang of 20 people to come in at me.
Did you enjoy that work?
Yeah, I liked it. Not only for the doing it, but also for the fact that I was so near home, you see. But I had two rather interesting recruits. I had Jim Callaghan, the Prime Minister, in my class at one time, but he was no trouble at all. I mean, because his father was a naval chief petty officer from Portsmouth, I mean, and he, knew how to dress himself, and I didn't have to check anybody up, and he behaved himself. And the other one was Malilu. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, JPW Malilu. He was the man who wrote the book Very Ordinary Seaman. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but that's a good read. I mean, I know I had him for a time, and he went off to King Alfred in Hove, and he came back on the staff as an officer in the training division at Portsmouth, and I mean, I got on very well with him, and then he went into Parliament, and he was an MP, and he made quite a name for himself.